Hey everybody, it is Wednesday and it is almost Thursday here in Amsterdam where I am speaking and kind of a little bit asleep, but very excited because we have a great show. It is Snipes and Stripes right here on nofilter.net with my good buddy Tim Peel. And what a series of series we have going on in the playoffs right now and in the Stanley Cup quarter and in the conference finals. I can't even believe it. I've been over here at my daughter's wedding. Tim, how are you doing? It was a beautiful day out here. How are you doing? You look great today, man. You look fresh.
First question, how was the wedding?
It was great. It was,
yep.
Yeah, it was a barn. It was a kind of a barn side wedding, right at my daughter's house. She lives like in one of the most beautiful places in the world. Everybody had a great time. She looked beautiful. I cried like a baby, just so you know. We danced until 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. They went till almost 6 in the morning. It was a beautiful thing. So I'm glad it's over and she's happy. Everything's all cleaned up and now it's time to get at it again. So
that's awesome. Congratulations. You got to post some pictures on Twitter, buddy, because I haven't seen a picture of you. And I got to get a picture of you and the bride.
All right. We'll do.
Let's thank our sponsors and then we'll get right into it. Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchup, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Yeah, obviously we got my whiskeyandwild.com. Go to whiskeyandwild.com for your best chocolate and chocolate orange whiskey you'll ever have. I haven't had any in a while. I should have brought some over to the wedding, but it is going very well, Tim. You'd be very impressed and very proud of my product. And I believe your product is flying off the shelves too. And you're doing great things for young players and making sure that they're safe on the ice.
Yeah, no, the protected neck guards are doing well. We're doing a lot of organizations throughout the U.S. and just starting in Canada. So, yeah, reach out to me and we'll take care of your team or organization and keep your players safe on the ice. So, let's get right into it. Before we talk about the series that's going on tonight, Edmonton and Dallas, I just saw on social media, all the media in Edmonton are all upset. They're all pissed off because Darnell Nurse, I love his response. They've been shitting on him for the past 10 days. And unfortunately, rightfully so, he's played 15 games and he's a minus 12, okay? And with a $12 million price tag and a cap hit of $9.2 million, you got to get more out of that. So I get it. But I also see the human element too. And you've been there when you know the media's been carving you and now they want to ask you about this player and this, what about Skinner and what about this guy and this guy? And he just basically blew them off and they're all sour. So how did you handle that when you were a player? Because I'm sure you went through similar things, not a minus 12 probably, but.
You know, it comes with the territory. You know, that's what you get for being a high paid player. You are going to be one of the guys that are going to be praised when you win, but you're also going to get the finger pointed at when you lose. And Darnell Nurse is, to tell you the truth, to me, is overpaid player. He's an overpaid player in the National Hockey League. So,
not his fault.
No, not his fault. Listen, exactly. That's a great point by you. They're going to pay Darnell Nurse $12 million. Go be it. Go do it. $11 million, whatever the case may be. That's the problems that have been around for the National Hockey League for years, is overpaying players and expecting more from players who, to tell you the truth, really can't get to past a certain level. I'm not saying Darnell Nurse can't get past a certain level, but he is minus 12 in the most important time of the year. And you see what's happening in Toronto with Marner. You see what's happening with Austin Matthews, they're getting railroaded in terms of their lack of playoff production. So you know what? So be it. And yep. And Darnell Nurse he's got to just suck it up. And the problem is they're still playing and they're panicking. And that's not good. It's not good for the team. It's not good for Darnell Nurse. It's not good for anybody. And if I was just Darnell, I would just say, just look in the mirror and say, I got to be better. Don't say about anything else. Say, yep. I got to do my thing. But
he signed an 8-year, $74 million contract, including a $24 million signing bonus. That is unbelievable. I love Kenny Holland. And I think Kenny was the one that gave him the deal, but holy lifting, that is a lot of money for Darnell.
No, that's a Darren Pang. Holy jumping. You talk about overpaid. You just made 10 other players in the National Hockey League very, very happy when that contract was signed.
Absolutely. And yeah. You know what? You mentioned the word panic. It's funny you mentioned that because, and I like Chris Knobloch. I think he's done a tremendous job, and he's pulled the right strings when it comes to putting in Calvin Pickard, putting Skinner back in. Well, it looks like Warren Fogel, Darnay, the big defenseman, and Carrick are out of the lineup going into game four, yes. Philip Broberg, big young defenseman. Corey Perry, the Worm, is making his first appearance. And Ryan McLeod. So he's taken three guys out, which, as you know, in the playoffs, that doesn't happen very often. You might take one guy out, but three guys?
Yeah.
He's looking to shake things up.
Yeah, that's panic. There's no question about it. And you know what? I'd be panicking too. You look the way Dallas is playing right now. They are poised. They are strong. They are offensive. Getting Roope Hintz back in that lineup is scary for the Edmonton Oilers. You saw what Roope did after coming back in his first game in this series, and he had three assists and played absolutely spectacular. Robertson played fantastic. I mean, look what happened in the first period. Dallas has a slow start, no problem. All of a sudden they come back in the second period and they just steamroll Edmonton. And, you know, they're doing as good a job shutting down, you know, Draisaitl and McDavid. McDavid obviously had a big game last game, but Dallas is the real thing. And there's no question that everybody in Canada, not just Knobloch, not just Edmonton fans, everyone in Canada right now is panicking because that's the last team in Canada and their last hope. And it doesn't look good for them going against a Dallas team that's now has gotten back home ice advantage and is playing very, very well with a full lineup.
JR, I want to ask you a question that because I don't know the answer to this. But reading, you know, I went to my first UFC fight here in St. Louis a couple weeks ago, and subsequently I read articles on how these UFC guys would come out before the fight and they would be so hyped up, so wound up, and they'd come out and fight an unbelievable first round, and then the second, third round, they were non-existent. And they figured out in MMA and UFC that you can't do that because your body just kind of lets down after that first round. Is there a fine line for a hockey player in a playoff game? Because obviously Edmonton came out flying. Is there a fine line of getting too hyped up for a playoff game? Or do you just kind of have to treat it like every other game?
I think there's got to be a level of intensity that you have to understand. I mean, you can't waste everything in the first game. You can't waste everything in the first period. I mean, you have to come out strong, but you know, it's not like you didn't do the Rocky syndrome where you're going to let yourself get so far behind that you have to try to catch up, but you definitely have to, pace yourself. You have to know, you know, there's a long series. I mean, seven games in an NHL playoff round is excruciatingly long, and it's painful and it's tiring. And especially these days, you saw it, there's been overtime games. You're playing more than seven games pretty much every series right now. So you have to be patient. You're not going to win a game in the first period, but you can lose it in the first period. Mm-hmm. But you got to stay patient, and you have to be able to not have any emotional highs and lows, right? So,
you know, I think what you just said was perfect, because when I watch Dallas and Florida right now, they are patient. They stick to the game plan. They're patient. They play the same style from the first minute of the first period to the last minute of the third period. They to me, I think, are probably the two best teams left out of the four that would be a tremendous Stanley Cup final. But saying that, you never know with the Rangers. But to your point about pacing yourself, being consistent, it doesn't seem like Florida or Dallas, if they're behind, they just keep playing the same way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I do believe they are the most consistent teams, probably in the National Hockey League. Right. Not just left, but the way that they play, their ability to stay poised, their ability not to be able to come back in hockey games, is really impressive. Now, whether that's coaching or whether that's leadership on their teams,
probably both.
Yeah, it could be both. I mean, they're both very, very well-built teams. And you got to give a lot of credit to the general managers of both these teams for building the teams that they have, and the leadership for making sure that the mentality is right in the locker room and on the ice. But, you know, they both can play either style of game. They can play a high-paced offensive run-and-gun game, and they can also play a lockdown defensive stranglehold type of game. And those are tough teams to play against. If you want to talk about probably maybe one of the most boring or one of the most stranglehold finals that we'll see in a long time, is watching Florida against Dallas, if we see that in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah. That would be a physical...
yes.
Fast, good goaltending. Like, I'm watching Alexander Barkov last night. He seriously could have had five goals if it wasn't for Shesterkin. Shesterkin completely played out of his mind last night. And Barkov was just on another level. He is such a talented player. And I love the guy so much, because I reffed him for, I don't know, 10, 15 years. I don't think he said two words on the ice. He is a player, JR.
This Barkov is
unbelievable. He's got a long stick. I know you've noticed it. He's got a long stick.
He does. He's a big body with tremendous talent, right? He's strong. He can move the puck. He can play in any position. I mean, I believe he's won a couple Selke trophies as one of the best defensive players of the year, too, the forwards. Which you look at him and he's playing at a different level, and he has upped his game, especially this year in the playoffs. He was very quiet there for a little while coming the end of the season, but now he's picked it up again, and he's one of the most underrated players in the game, because we've talked about it before, and I think with a lot of people that are in the game that know the game, they would put him up in the top five best centers in the game.
100%.
And unfortunately, being in Florida, being a small market team, and even though they've gone to the final last year and they're doing it again this year, at least on their way this year, and Matthew Tkachuk being there, which takes a lot of his real time. But he is truly a all-around dynamic centerman that's playing well. I got a question for you. Go back to game three, the overtime win by the Rangers. It seemed to me that Wennberg, on that tip, it looked to me like it hit his hand. And I know that everybody was watching it. And, you know, it's good, maybe a good time to go back, because this is an amazing series. Yeah, I mean, that win by the Rangers in game three was so big, getting back home ice advantage. But as it was Florida last night to get the overtime win again. So this series is everything that we thought it was going to be. I mean, back and forth. This is a coin flip, if you ask me, who wins it.
I agree.
And but that goal by Wennberg, It was a beautiful tip, but if you look at it, it looks like it hits the hand that's attached to the bottom part of his stick.
Right.
Now, what did you see, and why do you think they did not go to review for that?
Well, they review before we drop the puck. We get a thumbs up from one of the off-ice officials in the penalty box. Doesn't matter, it could be a wide open net. We still have to wait. We get a thumbs up from an off-ice official in the penalty box. So before our officials drop that puck, and the reason we wait for the thumbs up is they're communicating with the situation room in Toronto. The situation in Toronto would have called down and said, okay, we've got a good goal. I don't have a problem with that goal counting. It wasn't intent. It didn't. If he did it, do it intentional, then good on him, because it sure didn't look like it was intentional. And I don't think anybody has a problem with that. So, but that's how it worked. We have to get the thumbs up. The situation reviews every goal in the regular season and certainly in the playoffs. And we have to get a thumbs up before we can drop the puck.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was a controversial goal, because I thought it was an amazing tip, right? And obviously in the perfect position, really good tip. Whether you can see it hit the glove or not, it is, you know, you can't really tell. But if it did hit his glove in any way on a deflection, as the rules go, because I don't know the rule and you're a referee, if it does hit his glove, what could it be called back?
It could only be called back if they deemed it intentional. So if somebody takes a shot and it goes off your glove and goes in, we've got a good goal. If someone takes a shot and you move your hand forward or you direct it, even though your hand may be on the stick, they could take that goal back. But it's got to be deemed intentional by the situation room and by the officials on the ice.
Well, it was an intentional tip. It just hit it. It just hit part of the stick where his glove was on. That's I was surprised that they didn't go further with that. That was such a big call at that time. And listen, it was a great play. It was a great goal. And by the way, I can't believe it's Wennberg's first goal.
That's unbelievable.
Which is unbelievable to me. This kid is so much more talented of a hockey player to only have one goal in the playoffs. But if you're going to have a big goal, that was the right time to do it.
So the officials last night, I'm, you know, it's so funny on social media today, the Ranger fans are all pissed off. They're blaming the refs. They're blaming the refs, even though, first of all, I thought the officials did a good job and didn't have a bearing on the game. And to be honest with you, Barkov probably deserved a penalty shot. And Florida went on the power play and scored on that. But Andy Strickland, our good buddy, he goes, Panarin, Zibanejad, Kreider might want to show up in this series. Zibanejad now 10 straight games without a goal. Panarin 7 games without a goal. Florida Stars are out playing the Ranger Stars. And that's pretty much sums it up.
Yeah.
And I laughed at Paul Maurice's press conference afterwards, because everyone, listen, I thought the refs did a good job, but it should have been a penalty shot at the end of the day. But they asked Paul Maurice, what did you think? And Paul goes, you know what? It's a good question. He goes, we are 33% on penalty shots this year. And our power play right now is humming at 33%. So he goes, I don't know which one I would have chosen. Would I have chosen the penalty shot, or would I have chosen the power play? So
that's a great answer, by the way. It's a great answer. And that power play looks sick. I mean, the way they're tic-tac-toeing it across with Matthew Tkachuk, they're down, you know, flanked off that left side down. I mean, some great plays. That tic-tac-toe pass and the way Sam Reinhart is playing right now, and after the season he just had, you talk about this guy's going to have the payday. He deserves the $11 million, $11.5 million right. Contract that Darnell Nurse has signed. But
this series, buddy, is, as you know, it's got 7 games written all over it. Game 5's in New York tomorrow. Wouldn't surprise me if New York won, but then it wouldn't surprise me if Florida won. Like you said, it's a coin flip with these two teams. And the way Shesterkin's playing, it's unbelievable. I hope this series for us, selfishly, I hope it goes 7 games. I hope we get to see a 7 games.
Well, it'll be awesome because you picked Florida, I picked Rangers in seven. So that'll be, both of us will, one of us will be right, but the other one will be right there at, in the right call also,
Hey,
which is,
Vinny Trocheck scored a beauty of a goal too.
oh, didn't he ever?
Bar down. He
What
moved
a
up.
shot.
He moved up. We teach our younger players to stay up high when the puck's below the goal man, third man high, third man high. And he moved up a little higher than you normally would. And that puck got on his stick and he got every bit of it and
Every bit of it.
just defied Bobrovsky's ear.
I'll tell you, Sam, Reinhardt's goal and Trocheck's goal are a perfect example of being in the absolute sweet spot of a scoring area. Now, Trocheck a little bit higher. If he's lower, he doesn't have that much room and be able to get that off as well. And what's also unbelievable is Bobrovsky didn't even go down, yet it still went right past his ear in the middle of the net. I watched Henrik Lundqvist on the panel talk about goaltenders going down, specifically the Edmonton goaltenders, how they go down in that reverse V whatever bullshit type of style that they have now, and they literally give you the whole upper net, and Hank's like, stand up, stand up, and Bobrovsky was stood up, yet he it went right into the middle of the net with a perfect shot with a laser beam. Let me just ask you this question. The Ranger fans are going crazy about the refereeing. Okay, everybody that loses is gonna scream foul on the referees. The referees are always the easiest ones to blame. I did it all the time. Trust me, it's the easiest. You guys are the easiest ones to blame because you guys are the three blind mice, or now the four. What was the mentality? Because back in the 90s, when I started, or I was starting in the 80s, but still, it was kind of an unwritten rule that you don't call penalties in overtime. Let the game just finish 5-on-5 the way it is. It seems like today they're more inclined to call penalties and to call it the way it is.
They are.
I don't know whether people are expecting a no penalty overtime, but it's nice to see that the referees are still calling it the way that they do in regular, regular time.
Yeah, you can't win. Like, the world we live in with social media now, it's let them play, or it's how come they're not calling it like they did in the first period? You can't, these guys can't win. The referees cannot win. I guarantee you, if you ask Bill Zito and Chris Drury last night, are you guys happy with the job these guys did? Do you guys feel that they determine the outcome of the game? They would both say nope, because they let a little bit go here, they let a little bit go here. They called what they needed, they set the standard, the players knew what the standard was going to be. But to your point, they'll call penalties in overtime now, especially if it's a flagrant trip, foul, slash, hook on the hands that results in a turnover. These guys are going to call it. So
How many therapists did you go through in your career from all the blame game that you probably got during the playoffs in the regular season? It's like, it's Tim Bale's fault.
well, it was probably a lot of self-medication after the game is what it was. But you know what? The game has changed. I remember Chris Rooney. And Runes, well, him and I were doing a game seven. It was 2014 at Madison Square Gardens. It's the last time Philly and the Rangers have played a game seven. And place was rocking. And place was, it was so much fun. And I called Zach Rinaldo for an interference penalty in the first period. And he just took somebody out because it's Zach, And him and I message each other now and laugh about it. And that was the only penalty we called in the whole game. In the whole game seven, we called one penalty because it was accepted back then that you could just let them go up and down, unless somebody took a swing at somebody's head, which doesn't happen in a game seven, And the other thing is, usually in game sevens, you don't have as many penalties as you do in a game two or a game three or a game five, because they know they cannot be undisciplined. They cannot be shorthanded. They can't give that team, three or four power plays. So you'll see less penalties called, but it's a combination of the refs not wanting to be the deciding factor, and also the players play a much more disciplined game in a game seven.
Yeah, it's It's I actually it's fun to watch. I like to see power plays. I mean, it's I
Well, the
without
Rangers
the power
power
plays,
play was clicking last night too. They could have had a couple.
yeah. I mean, these games are going to go for a long time without without having power plays. I mean, I think we got a double overtime game already, but I would have to expect, especially come in the final, there are going to be some multi overtime games the way that these teams are playing and how special that they are.
Well, let's touch base on game four tonight. Edmonton at home to Dallas. I could be off my rocker, which I am quite often, but I feel for Edmonton that this is really a game seven for them. They have to win this game. They cannot go down 3-1 to the Dallas Stars, JR, and expect to win three out of the next four games. They can't do it.
It's not against Dallas, but I listen, I think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea. We haven't done this in a while. Let's bring on Keenan, who we know is a huge Edmonton fan. So
Absolutely.
it'd be nice to hear. There he is. What's up, Keenan?
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. It would be very, very shameful of us if we didn't bring you on and probably one of the biggest games in Edmonton history tonight, or at least of the season. Because if they lose tonight, is it going to be a tough rebound to come back? So what's the feeling like in Edmonton?
It's a little nerving, definitely a little bit nerving right now. And we got to win tonight, or else I'm really giving up hope because Dallas is much better than us. There's no way we're going to win three in a row against Dallas. No way at all. I'll say that here. But it's definitely like the nervous energy when we only come out and play 8 minutes in the first period and that's it. You got to hope someone came in, gave the boys motivation, turned them around and say, hey, we got to play a full 60, otherwise nothing's going to happen here.
Like Keenan, what was the stat in game three in the second period? Did they only have one shot in 12 or 15 minutes?
Oh, yeah, they did not get many shots through the first. Like after we got our first shot after Dallas scored the first three goals of the game, so that you can't have.
Well, and that's the playoff savviness that you have to have. Usually that when you get scored against, that's the biggest shift of the game. To not get a shot on net until three goals are scored, there is a lack of intensity. And I would be really nervous if I was a coach, if I was a GM, if I was a fan, because there's no sense of urgency. You have to be able to react to a situation like a goal. But if you go three goals without a shot, there's something seriously wrong with the mentality of that group. And that tells you how good Dallas is when you have the two best players in the world in Draisaitl and McDavid, and they don't get a shot. Like, wow.
And that's a laid-back style of hockey. We get a lead, and then we get all conservative and forget where our offense is. They got McDavid going back. Well, then Dallas comes down and scores three goals, and all of a sudden, oh, I guess we got to play offense again, and then we're chasing, right?
Yeah, what's the mentality in the media, or at least the fans, about what's going on with the goaltending? Because it's a big controversy between Skinner and Pickard, who to put in. What's the that conversation like out there?
So the Vancouver series are all over Skinner. However, right now it's more 50-50. Half want to play Pickard, half want to play Skinner because Skinner is keeping us in these games. He's making big saves at the right time. A lot of these goals are not his fault. Well, at the same time, he let in that fourth goal, the Jason Robertson hat trick goal, which got all the Skinner haters right back in. Take out Skinner, take out Skinner. But I personally think keep him in because he's playing well. He's getting peppered, but he's standing his ground and keeping us in these games too. That's my thoughts.
Keenan, tell me about, you probably know more about Philip Roberg than JR and I do. He's excuse me, 22 years old, big defenseman from Sweden. What can you tell us about his game?
That I hope he gets going tonight. But no, but in all seriousness, no, he was there with us at the beginning of the year. He was more He'd sit out three games, play one. Sit out three, play one. Then they just send him to Bakersfield. But he's a young guy like me, and he needs to get that offense. He needs to provide offense. And bringing him in, he's an offensive defenseman by nature, playing to more defensive style. So if he can get the offense going, that would be really good, because he was tearing it up offensively in Bakersfield for us.
Well, he's 6'4", 210 pounds. He's a big boy, so hopefully he can inject some offense. And yeah, what do you think about them bringing out Desharnais, Carrick, and Fogle, and putting in Perry and Ryan McLeod?
You know, they should have kept out McLeod for Carrick. I'm sorry, but McLeod has not been playing well for us at all these playoffs. McLeod should have stayed out, should have kept in Carrick, because Carrick is a gritty player. He goes and he's not afraid to make hit. And now,
yeah.
Oh, and yeah, and he plays well in our fourth line. They might not be providing offensively, but their defensive play is really noticeable. So, but Fogle needs to sit out as well. And Perry, bringing in Perry, who's going to be a pest out there. Hopefully that gets the guys going here. Definitely. I hope so.
I'm kind of surprised that they had Perry out of the lineup. Here's a guy who has got so much playoff savvy. Nobody's been to a Stanley Cup final more than this guy over the last 5 or 6 years. It's kind of crazy. It seems like now it's desperation, but he should be in the lineup since game one, just for that experience and that calmness in the locker room, because they obviously need it, because they're not getting the right responses on the ice. And that I don't know whether McDavid or Draisaitl are verbal leaders or communicative leaders, or they're yellers. They do lead by example, but you do need somebody to step up and verbally, you know, challenge a team. And that is something that Corey Perry would do.
Well, it's like he did against Vancouver, held up his stick in Besser's face, and then the next game they took him out. But it's his speed and the age, the factor. That's what how they're looking at it. From people I've been talking to, because he's not that fast of a player, Perry, really, anymore, to keep up with the playoffs. And we need that speed going down the right wing rather than having someone who's chasing the play. That's what I understand. But I love Corey Perry. And when he's out there, he's noticeable, because he's hidden and he's being a shit disturber out there.
Well, if he scores tonight, the national media be saying what a genius job by Chris Knobloch putting him in the lineup. So, you know,
exactly.
Well, listen, if the playoffs continue like they have, Edmonton is going to have a big win tonight. It's going to go back. It's going to go back 2-2. And I'll tell you what, then we're really going to have two series on our hands. So, Keenan, we appreciate you being on, buddy. Always awesome, awesome analysis, and especially from an Edmonton fan right now.
Thank you for supporting our podcast out all year, buddy. Shout out to Alberta Pacific. Keenan's at work listening and watching to our podcast. He's the best. I love him.
Yeah, he's so good, buddy.
That was good, because you know what? He knows what's going on in Edmonton right now. He lives and breathes the Oilers, so good for him. It's I'm pumped for tonight. Hey, one last thing. You wouldn't have seen it last night, or maybe saw the highlights, but Chris Kreider grabbed Matthew, to go back to the other series for a second, because it's funny. Kreider grabbed the mouth guard out of Matthew Tkachuk's face last night, out of his mouth, and he tried to throw it over the glass, and he didn't get it over, and it fell on the ice, and everyone people are on social media asked me, is that a penalty? I'm like, yeah, in the regular season, maybe, but like, come on, he threw, but he tried to, and Matthew doesn't even wear that mouth guard for protection. He just chews.
Well, how can he? That thing is so chewed up. It can't even fit around his teeth anymore.
He chews on it like a dog on a bone.
I will tell you this, how he does that and how he's able to do that and play the game and put it in his mouth and chew on it. There are millions and millions of people right now. And I love Matthew Tkachuk. You know me. I think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. But I will agree with the millions of people around social media and watching this series that I am glad. I wish that he did throw it over the glass. And I'm glad he took it out, because it's like, will you put your mouthpiece in, Matthew, please? You look ridiculous chewing on it. It's there for a reason, not to have to be your chew toy while you're playing a hockey game.
But you know what, buddy? He's done it since junior. Like, it's just a habit.
Of course, yeah.
I'm sure if you took that mouth guard, you said, okay, you're going to play tonight without that mouth guard, he may have one of his worst games of his career.
That's his protective blanket, right? It's his protective blanket.
It's his blankie. Exactly. He's comfortable with it. So.
But you talk about a guy in Matthew Tkachuk, okay, that there are not as many all-around players as Matthew Tkachuk. And he's reminds me so much of his dad, okay, of Keith. The way he skates, the way he gets to the front of the net, his hockey IQ. He's three steps ahead of everybody else on the ice in terms of knowing where that puck is coming from, knowing where it's going to go before he gets it, and getting into that open ice and being able to create time and space for himself. He literally is an absolute phenom, a genius in the way that he reads the game. And it's no wonder why he's putting points on the board like he is the last couple of years. And I think he's underpaid, even at $9 million, if you ask me.
He's an $11 million player, 11 or 12, right? Absolutely.
For sure.
But guess what? He's making nine in South Florida, buddy, and he's driving his golf cart to their
new probably ride. Same. It's the same thing, right? It's the same thing.
He's living in Los Olos down from the Elbow Room. He drives his golf cart to the new practice facility in flip-flops. Life is and he just got engaged to a nice girl here in St. Louis. Life is good for Matthew Tkachuk right now. So,
yeah, such a great family.
Before we talk about some other NHL news, Memorial Cup's going on right now in Saginaw. And I saw something two nights ago that I'd never seen in my life. There was a fight between, I think it was Moose Jaw and one of the Quebec teams. And as the fight is starting, the linesman looks over to this guy. He's in a white jumpsuit, and he waves him on the ice. And this guy, and he's got a camera, and he comes on the ice, and he's filming the fight. And people were saying, you know, have you ever seen this? I said, listen, I got to be honest. I don't think that happened. I think because the referee had a ref camera on his helmet too. And then the videos came out that there was a guy skating around the ice with a camera. I think it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It's a stupid thing. And especially in an age where fighting is literally almost eliminated from the game.
Especially in junior hockey.
In junior hockey, you can't even say pussy anymore. You get suspended for 5 games. I mean, the most ridiculous, stupid, woke BS, you know, kind of mentality. I mean, and we won't get into it because I know you don't want to talk about this, but when you have an OHL who is suspending somebody that got attacked verbally, that got threatened, okay, and that kid doesn't get any game suspension, but you the guy says the pussy word and he gets 5 games. I mean, come on, the OHL ought to be ashamed of themselves. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. But then on the other side of the country, they're bringing cameras on to let people fight. I mean, right. If there's not hypocrisy and stupidity going on in the Canadian junior leagues right now, in terms of the stupid rules, they're both stupid, but on different levels.
Well, you know what? I don't watch enough of the Canadian Hockey League. That's where I started my career, and I loved working there. Landon Sim was the player that got suspended 5 games. The son of Jonathan Sim. Who Simmer played in the NHL for quite a few years. Great guy, his dad was. So, yeah, I don't know all the ins and outs, but I don't necessarily disagree with you. But listen, today the Vancouver Canucks, they released Mike Yeo. I don't know if he was left over. I didn't have a chance to look at it. If he was left over before talk came in, I got a funny feeling he might have been. Maybe he's not talk's type of guy. I don't know. He was let go. Blue Jackets hired Donnie Waddell to be the president and GM, which I think is a phenomenal hire. They moved John Davidson, Big JD, they moved him up higher in the within the organization, but they've given free rein to Donnie Waddell as president and GM. And this is a guy that's been with Carolina for 10, 15 years. He left that franchise in better shape than when he took it over. And I'm excited to see what he can do in Columbus, JR.
Well, he's definitely a talented man. There's no question. He knows his hockey. He did his best to try to do what he could do in Atlanta. And obviously nothing worked in Atlanta. Did a great job in Carolina. He's going to do a good job. He is just, he's a career hockey brain. Now, I will be totally honest with you. I'm not a big Waddell fan. He left me off the 2006 Olympic team. Ooh. And, you know, probably a good thing at the time, seeing as where my career was, but still it was a knock to my ego. Sure. But so it's not that I hold a grudge. I think he's a great hockey mind, and he's a very good guy. Yeah, maybe I hold a little bit of a grudge, but he's gonna do a great job. And you know, there's certain people that belong in certain jobs in National Hockey League, and there's no question that Waddell is one of those guys that deserves to be in that position and can make a difference with his knowledge and his know-how of what a team needs at a specific time.
Yeah, and I think what he does, he fosters this atmosphere or family. Like he is all about, other than you getting cut in 2006, he is all about, because I've met Donnie, I've known Donnie going back to the IHL days when he was with the Orlando Solar Bears, and I was cutting my teeth in the International Hockey League. Donnie cares about people. I guarantee you the people in Carolina that work in the front office and down the ladder are sad to see a Don Waddell go, because I've never heard anything but good things about him. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, they've got a good fan base there in Columbus, and with the right leadership, hopefully they can turn that franchise around, because the fans deserve it. I want to give a shout out to Danny Bylsma. Danny is back in the coaching ranks, bud, with the Seattle Kraken. Danny won a Stanley Cup with Pittsburgh. He got let go a couple of years later and was coaching in the American League, which I'm sure which was a bit of an ego shot at, you know, at to him going, I'm a Stanley Cup champ and now I got a coach in the American League. But he paid his dues. He worked hard at it again, and now he's the head coach of the Seattle Kraken. So good for Dan.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, that's not easy. You know, you coach one of the best teams in the National Hockey League over a decade with the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he did a great job. You know, Dan's a very smart hockey man, and again, you see the passion and the love that he has for the game. And I think that's going to ooze out over the players. He seemed to be liked very much by the Pittsburgh Penguin guys. Mm-hmm. So for him to go down and like you said, I don't even think pay his dues, but to, you know, just to, you know, stick around because right? there's a lot of good hockey minds around there. So for him to stick around and go down to the minors and just wait for his time and twiddle his thumbs and do as best as he can do in the minors and help those guys, you know, become better hockey players and then have this opportunity. I'm going to wish him the best of luck in Seattle. There's no question that that team needs him, and maybe a team of young players like they have up there in Seattle could be benefit from a really good guy in Dan Bylsma. And there's a lot of coaching changes go around the league. I've never seen this many coaching changes in the course of a year than we've seen this far in the National Hockey League.
Well, and you've got Scotty Arneal, which I think is a natural fit for him to be the head coach of the Winnipeg Jets. He took over twice in the last year and a half when Rick Bowness had to step away.
Can we just make mention of how great of a man and how great of a hockey person Rick Bowness is and what he's done there in Winnipeg. When he got hired there, I thought he was the perfect coach. When a lot of people say Rick Bowness is a career assistant coach, he's too quiet to be a head coach, he doesn't have the capacity to be head coach. Well, let me tell you something, what he did in Dallas and then what he did in Winnipeg shows why he's one of the best hockey minds that this game has seen in the last 30 years. And I know that's saying something, but his demeanor, his ability to communicate with players, and his hockey knowledge in order to read a game, his bench work, the way he's able to coach on a fly is really incredible. He reads stuff so well. So congratulations to Rick Bowness. I'm sorry that he had to retire in this manner, but
and buddy, you know, the biggest part is you wouldn't find a nicer guy in hockey.
No.
Rick Bowness is the salt of the earth. I've known him for 30 years. He grew up in Nova Scotia. I've been to so many charity events with him. He's loved by his players. He's loved by his trainers. He treats everybody with unbelievable respect. Rick Bowness is truly one of the best guys ever. And the NHL is lucky to have had a guy involved in the NHL so long, starting out, I think, in Ottawa, the Ottawa Senator days. Rick Bowness, enjoy your retirement with Judy, because you are truly one of the best. A quick story, we're at this charity golf tournament in Cape Breton, and Mike Keenan was there, and Jacques Martin, and we're partying and having fun, and somehow I got a hold of a cowboy hat, and I wore a cowboy hat for the next 3 days, and it was my shtick for the next 3 days, and that was like 15 years ago, and every time I'd see Bones, whether he was the assistant coach or the head coach, I'd come up, I go, hey, Bones. He goes, hey, cowboy, how you doing? It was never Ref, it was never Timmy. He said, hey, cowboy. He called me cowboy for the last 15 years. He's just an awesome guy. I love
him. Yeah, he really is. That's a big loss for Winnipeg. And I know Arneil will do a good job because he knows that town, he knows that city, he knows that team. He was a gritty player, but still, to lose a guy like Bowness, that puts them a little bit more under the gun than I think most people believe.
Well, there's one person that doesn't like the Scott Arneil hire, and that's our buddy Mike Commodore. He roasted him on social media. We know his relationship with Babcock. Well, he had a few stories on social media about his time with Arneil, and he didn't like him. Love him or hate him, Commie just, he shoots from the hip, man, and he says it the way it is.
I don't think there's a more entertaining read on social media than Mike Commodore when he gets riled up about a player or a coach.
He made a guest appearance when you guys were in Mexico at our golf tournament, but maybe we'll get Kami on for the Stanley Cup finals because he is a beaut. The other coaching change, they let Lindy go, you know, a month ago, but they hired Sheldon Keefe in New Jersey. I've had my difference of opinion about Sheldon Keefe, but you know what? I think this is a good hire for New Jersey. They've got a lot of good young talent on that team. I think if I'm him, I'm very thrilled that I got let go by Toronto, and I'm able to now be the head coach of the New Jersey Devils, who, if they get a goaltender, are probably in the playoffs this year. So I think it's good to hire by Tom Fitzgerald.
Well, this is a tough one for me because we've watched the Toronto Maple Leaf feeble playoff performances. Okay. Now,
that's more
hold on. Hold on. I'm getting to the question and I'm getting to the reason. So I know you're antsy and you're looking good and you're amped up. But I don't know how good of a coach he is, because he was given a lineup, right? He was given a lineup by the general manager with six guys making 70% of the salary cap. Mm-hmm. And a couple of those guys haven't performed year after year. They're weak in net, they're weak on defense. And is that the job of the coach to fill in the weaknesses to try to get somebody else to play harder? Or is he's only as good as the other 15 players on the ice rather than just the five that they're expecting to win every series on? So I don't know if this is a good hire or not. Is Sheldon Keefe a good coach? I don't know. He's won one playoff round for Toronto Maple Leafs.
No, it's a very valid point. It's a very valid point. I guess I'm trying to give him some love, but your point is well taken. We don't know if he's a good coach yet. You're absolutely right. Like, there was a clip a couple weeks ago, and it showed this is the difference between Craig Berube and Sheldon Keefe. And Craig Berube in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals came in, and it was bleep, 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 bleep. We're going to win this game, and we're going back to St. Louis with the Stanley Cup. And Keith's Game 7 speech was, hey, guys, you know, breathe, enjoy the moment, and breathe. And but I'm like, okay, well, but I never played
in the What's NBA. He in yoga class? What's he teaching, a yoga class?
I don't know. I don't know. So to your point, maybe he does. I don't know. I guess we'll know more over the next 2 or 3 years, right? Like, we'll know more. And that's a very good point you brought up. We don't know if he's a good coach yet.
Well, we do know that Tom Fitzgerald is a very good general manager and a very good hockey mind. He must know something that we don't, because to take a chance with a coach that has won one playoff round in God knows how long, if just one period, that's taking a risk, if you ask me.
Yeah, no, it is. And you know, they had an in-depth search. I know they had talked to Berube. They talked to other coaches. I think Travis Green was on that list. Yeah, we'll see. Maybe, yeah. You know, I got a lot of trust in Fitzy and Marty Brodeur. I'm sure was a part of that process as well. And, you know, time will tell, buddy. Time will tell.
Hey, before we get back real quick to the last two series going on, we got some pretty interesting free agents coming up here in the next couple of weeks. That yes. There could be some major movement with some players that have been around the same team for their whole careers. What do you got for it?
So we've got Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault, and if someone said to me, which player, if you were to bet, which player would re-sign and which player would, do you think there's the greater chance will leave and go to another team? I would say I would put my money on Jonathan Marchessault re-signing in Vegas. And I would say
he's not leaving Vegas. No chance is he leaving Vegas.
And there's a bigger chance that Steven Stamkos may be in another uniform come October. What are your thoughts?
I would bet the house that Steven Stamkos is going to leave Tampa. I don't think he's gotten the respect that he deserves from the management in terms of what he did in his last contract, taking the hometown discount to try to create the best lineup and to keep the salary cap at a decent level to acquire other players. And he doesn't get enough credit for that. I mean, Steven Stamkos is the ultimate captain and team player. And you know he's a big Toronto Maple Leaf fan. I bet you that he would just go to Toronto at a very low salary just to be a Toronto Maple Leaf and see what happens there. He's won his cups. You know, maybe he wants to fulfill a childhood dream and go back to Toronto and join Tavares and join Matthews and join Marner and that crew and add something to a team of, you know, with a low salary cap. He can do that. And we've seen that he's been that mentally he will do that. He just wants to have fun and have a chance to win.
You know what? He's won, what, two cups. And so chasing another cup, I'm sure, is obviously important to him. But to your point about being respected and that, I agree 100%. I don't feel like he's been respected by the GM of Tampa. And there was a rumor today, and people might think it's crazy, but there's been a lot crazier things happen in the NHL. They said, could you see Steven Stamkos reuniting with Marty St. Louis in Montreal? And I'm like, you know what? That might be Montreal may roll out the red carpet for him, JR, pay him a boatload of money. He's got a great relationship with Marty. They've got some good young players on that team, and Slavkovsky and a bunch of others. he might say, you know what? I think Steven Stamkos, before the end of his career, should play for a Canadian team.
Yes.
Toronto, Montreal, whoever. He's played his entire time in Tampa. And I'd love to see him in a Montreal.
Yeah, I would too. I think it'd be really special to watch. But Jonathan Marchessault is not leaving Vegas. No. If he is, he's not a very smart person, number one, because he's got a great place to live. He's got an action packed team and an action packed building to play in every night, and he has a chance to win the Stanley Cup every year. So for Jonathan Marchessault, stay right where you are. All right, stay right where you are. But I think Sam Reinhart is an unrestricted free agent this year also, is he not?
He is either a UFA or I think he's an RFA. I think he's a restricted. I think that's what I think. Yeah, because he would have been signed beforehand. He's an RFA. He's restricted. He's going to get a big pay raise by Billy Zito in Florida, and he deserves every penny of it.
Every penny of it.
And with the salary cap going up over the next couple of years, they'll find a way to fit him into that organization, because they're not going to let him go. He's 50 goal man.
All right, so before we go, two big games coming up. Dallas, Edmonton tonight. This is Dallas's big opportunity to put a stranglehold. I think Edmonton, I think the big boys are going to show up tonight.
I do too.
Being at this game is so crucial. Being down 3-1, I mean, Dallas again. Is it 2-2 or was it 3-2? Yes, that's right. 3-1. 2-1. 2-1. So being at home on that good ice in front of their fans, obviously the media is going to put some pressure on Edmonton. I think the big boys show up tonight and they get a big win.
I agree. I think Edmonton wins tonight to even the series up to a piece. And then I think the Rangers win tomorrow night at home and go up 3-2. They go back to Florida. Florida wins 3-3. And then game seven at the biggest rink, at the biggest place in the world, in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, the most famous arena in the world is going to have the biggest game, I think, of the season in game seven. You know, Matthew Tkachuk says he loves playing in that building. He scored the first goal of this series in that building. And that place will be rocking without question. There's a lot of karma running through that team and through that series. So it's going to be really interesting to see. But good show, Tim. You just brought it again.
Way to hang in there. Midnight in Germany and Amsterdam. You're unbelievable. I can't wait to see you back in North America. And have a safe trip back with Tracy. And I'm glad everything went well with Brandy. And I know it was a challenging week, but I'm glad that everything went well for you guys.
Yeah, it was great. I need to get back on my workout program. It's definitely been more of a celebration out here. So I got to make sure I keep that weight off that I lost over the last 6 weeks and make sure I get back into shape. But thanks to Bet Online, obviously Protected Neck Gear and Whiskey in the Wild, our sponsors. And we will see you Monday for the weekend edition of Snipes and Stripes right here on nofilter.net. Tim, great to see you. Have a great week. And wow, enjoy the rest of these playoffs. It's been a blast.
See you, pal.
Bye. We'll be right back.